On live stream this morning, we ask that you would sit back and relax and let the Lord God speak to us this morning as we worship together and as we praise his holy name together. So with that, let us just open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much that we can gather here in this house of prayer. Father, we just thank you and for this beautiful morning that you have given us. And Lord, we realize again and again it is all about you. And Father, as those that love you, we have come to worship you and to praise your holy name and to lift up your name on high, Lord. And you are worthy, and you are worthy of all and much more. And Father, we just thank you for each one that has come and bless each heart as we open your word to your open your word this morning as we want to take in your word as spiritual food for our souls. And Father, we just ask now that you would be with each and every one and speak to each heart and speak to my heart and give me words to speak as your servant this morning. We pray this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
In Blue Hymnal 141, there's a fountain. And you're welcome to stand.
Fountain fill with blood, God from Emmanuel's hand.
Number 131.
Wonderful and bountiful supply.
Thank you, worship team, and all of you for that hearty singing. It is always uplifting when you start a service and when there is good singing from the heart. I guess I've always loved singing, and certainly that is very much part of our worship each and every Sunday. It is certainly good for Sharon and myself to be here this morning. We had a beautiful ride out, and it still felt like, after all those years that we did it, it still felt like quite homely coming to New Bothwell here this morning. This morning I had entitled my message, Absolute Surrender. If you have our Bibles with, let us turn to Romans chapter 12. I'd like to share with you verses 1 and 2. And the Apostle Paul, I believe, makes it very clear how important it is that we surrender ourselves not only halfway or three-quarter way, but fully to the Lord. And there Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here, Paul this morning is telling us in Romans 12, it calls on the followers of Christ to yield themselves completely to God and to yield to his lordship. Until we do this, I believe, we can never really experience the fullness of joy and the blessing God has for us individually and as a church. There's a fellow named by Andrew Murray. He was from Scotland and was discussing with a group of men the condition of Christ's church at that time and what great need the church and of believers is. And a godly Christian worker, he was actively involved in training other workers for Christ. And when asked one day what he would say was the great need of the church, and the message and the answer he gave was very quietly, simply, and determinedly said, absolute surrender to God is the one thing. So why is absolute surrender to the greatest need in the church? You know, God demands our absolute surrender. Not just half and half or whenever it suits or so forth. Here in Romans 12 in our text, I read in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. How much holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul further confirms this and says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God commands total surrender. The condition of the church demands absolute surrender. The church today is filled, I believe, with powerless Christians to an extent who live a warm Christian lives and really are not that involved as they should be. And they fail to have an idea as to why they don't see God's power in their lives more often. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:1, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Paul is saying that you people, I couldn't speak to you as I would like to from the depths of Scripture, because you were just babes in Christ. You were just learning, and you seemingly were staying there. And that is why it's so important as born-again believers that we grow in the Lord, that we surrender to the Lord. You know, no words can tell the sad state of the Church of Christ on earth. And I wish I had words to speak what I sometimes feel about it. Just think of the Christians around you. I do not speak of normal Christians or professing Christians, but I speak of hundreds and thousands of honest, earnest Christians who are not living a life in the power of God to His glory. So little power, so little devotion or consecration to God, so little perception of the truth that a Christian is a man utterly surrendered to God's will. When we want to confess the sins of God's people around us, and we want to humble ourselves before Almighty God. And we could say there's Christians around us, and perhaps that even includes ourselves, when we ask ourselves, where do I stand in the mirror of faith? Excuse me. We are members, I believe, sometimes of a sickly body. The sickly of the body will hinder us and break us down unless we come to God in earnest. We must, in confession, separate ourselves from the partnership with worldliness, with coldness toward each other. We must give ourselves up to be entirely, entirely holy for God. In 1 Kings 18, in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 18, 21, Elijah came unto the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word, it tells us. In other words, he's asking the people, how much longer will you try to have things both ways? To me, it sometimes feels, and I'm sure I've done this myself, many people, Christians, have one foot in the church and the other foot in the world. They are trying to hold on to their place in the world and at the same time hold on to heaven, so to speak. They think they are going to get the best of both worlds, like is often said. But the truth is that they get the best of neither. They get the best of neither. Matthew puts it very plainly. He says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." He says very clearly, ye cannot serve God and mammon. So we can fully see lack of surrender to God as a result of selfish deep within our characters. Our selfish characters rob us of the intimacy with Christ and the power to touch our family, friends, and the lost with the power of the Holy Spirit. I read about a fellow whose name was Brother Nunn. He was one of the leading pastors in the Chinese host church movement, and he recognized that multitudes of church members in the West are satisfied with giving their minimum to God. Time, money, whatever it may be, as they can back to God. And I believe that is a disgrace. We should give all to the Lord. God's blessings are conditioned upon our absolute surrender. In 1 John 3:22, it says, "Whatsoever ye we ask, we receive of him, because because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." You know, the condition of God's blessing is absolute surrender of all into his hands. And we praise God for that. If our hearts are willing for that, there is no end to what God will do for us and to bless, and the blessings God will bestow upon us. I believe we fail to see that God has a basic condition for his blessings. The Apostle James writes, "Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss." James 4, verse 2. I believe many times when we seek the blessings of God, we ask amiss because we do not meet God's conditions for the full outpouring of his blessing. Very simply, that condition is total surrender to God. So we very quickly learn here that if we have an issue with someone, a difference, or we have done something against God's will, we ask amiss if we still expect him to answer our prayers. He wants a clean, total self of giving of ourself to him, of our hearts, so that he could bless us and that he can give us what we need. I believe the secret of a happy, successful life, both now and for eternity, is only but one way, is total surrender to God. Total surrender to God. You know, there's no better example of total surrender than it was mentioned by a pastor that I read some time ago. He was a Baptist pastor, preacher, Church of Christ in the heart of London as well in the 19th century. In the midst of a successful ministry, Pastor Meyer confessed that something was lacking in his life and ministry. In his early Christian life, he was marred, and his ministry seemed it was paralyzed just because he had kept back one thing from the bunch of keys he had given to the Lord. And we know we have all have different, we could, here he calls it keys. We have issues when we do Bible reading, our like our daily devotions, our prayer time, and many different keys that we have, and we have to give completely and should give completely and totally to God. But he gave every key, he said, every key save one. The key of one room was kept for personal use, and the Lord shut out of that one key. The effect of the complete consecration was found in lack of power, lack of assurance, lack of joy and peace. The joy of the Lord begins, friends, when we hand over the last key. We sit with the Lord on his throne as soon as we have surrendered our crowns and make him a sole and only ruler of our lives and its possessions. So what he was saying is that he kept something back. He held that one key back, one thing that was secret somewhere in the closet that he did not confess, that he did not give to the Lord, surrender to the Lord. So my question this morning is to all of us, have we got something hidden away in the back closet somewhere or in secret that keeps us from totally surrendering to God? God knows. Maybe nobody else in the world knows but you and God. So that is why this wise pastor says you've got to clean out everything that there is in your life. And you know, there's still people that we sometimes deal with as ministerial that keep things back. I remember some years ago, an older gentleman, he was well in his 80s, closer to 90, and he was very sick, could not seemingly pass away. And they called in the family many times, and they called in the pastor, and he was very, very down and just seemingly could not pass away. And the pastor had asked him, is there anything in your life that you haven't confessed, either to man or to God? And then he came out with what he had done as a younger man to his daughters. And this bothered him, and he confessed it, and friends, it does not take within a week. He could peacefully pass away. Keeping these things in a closet is not a good thing. God knows all things. So what does it mean to surrender absolutely, in total? In 1 Kings 20:1-4, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria, and he warred against it, and he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, thus saith Ben-Hadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also, and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, my king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. Here we see absolute surrender. It is to be intentionally and permanently give up and relinquish all control and ownership of everything to Christ. Excuse me. This is what we have always tried to do on our farm. We always claim, and I always have told our children, and now I'm retired, but still helping my two boys farm, that we give, the whole farm is the Lord's. Because we know, and Bible teaches us, that everything that we have is the Lord's. And we always pray that we would be good stewards of that which he has entrusted to us. Because really, everything that we have, people die each and every day, some very rich, and they don't take anything along with them. So we surrender ourselves, whatever we have, our children, everything is the Lord's. Surrender, in other words, is handing over everything we are and have to God. It is relinquishing all control of our lives, yes, to God. We read in Matthew 10, 37, 39, it says, he who loves, Matthew 10, 37, 39 to 39, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross daily and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, in our daily life, what absolute surrender is, you know that everything has to be given to its special definite object and service. You know, I have a pen here in my pocket, or right here, and that pen is absolutely surrendered to the one work of writing. The pen must be absolutely surrendered to my hand if I am to write properly with it. If another holds it partly, I cannot write properly. This coat that I'm wearing is absolutely given up to me to cover my body. This building is entirely given up to religious services. And now, do you expect that in your immortal being, the divine nature that you have received by generation, God can work his work every day, every hour, unless you are entirely, yes, entirely given up to him? God cannot. The temple of Solomon was absolutely surrendered to God when it was dedicated to him. And every one of us is a temple of God in which God will dwell and work mightily on one condition. Again, absolute surrender to him. God claims it. God is worthy of it. And without it, God cannot work his blessed work in us. Surrender is not commitment or submission. You can be a committed Christian and still live a dead and passionless and empty life. Commitment is a promise, obligation, or a pledge, while surrender is giving up and handing it over to another person absolute control. There's a book out there written by Connie Kavanaugh, and her book, From Faking It to Finding Grace, writes, commitment means I am still in control, whereas surrender takes me out of the driver's seat. Commitment is deciding on a plan. Surrender is going to God for his plan. Inherent in the act of surrender is submission to the conqueror. We cannot surrender to God unless we submit ourselves to his absolute control. And this means we no longer have a plan for our life. Instead, we seek to understand his purpose for our existence. God is to be in total control of everything we say and do and think. I understand that commitment is something we can do, something we can control. In surrender, we make the conscious choice to let go of that control. But the actual surrender is something only God can do. When we surrender, in other words, we give up, putting the focus where it belongs, on God. But it isn't giving up in the way we normally define it. The action is more like giving over. In love, it is offered to us in love, by love, and for love. And we accept it the same way, in love, for love, out of love. A living sacrifice, Paul writes in Romans 6:13, he says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Further in Matthew 22:37, we read, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and your mind. Then we might ask, how is absolute surrender accomplished? Paul writes in Philippians 1:6, he says, be confident of this very thing, that he, meaning Jesus, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The ability to surrender absolutely is a gift of God. However eagerly we may desire it, however diligently we may strive to acquire it, surrender cannot be obtained by personal endeavor. While many attempt to submit or commit to God, absolute surrender is something only God can do. Remember, Jesus in John 14 says, you can do nothing, nothing without me. But while it is God's work, it requires a response from you and me. God gives us that choice. He never forces anything on us. It has been said at some point we all surrender our lives to God. Some of us choose to do it voluntarily while we walk the earth. Others surrender involuntarily when their physical body dies. Surrendering while physically alive goes beyond recognizing and acknowledging the reality that we each belong to God. Similar to salvation, surrender is a gift we receive from God. We can't will it for ourselves, but also like salvation, the gift of surrender requires a response from us, and that is acceptance. There must be fruit, a changed life, a changed heart, a changed mind, as our opening scripture read. It must be something we accept and then do something about it. Any work we do will never get us salvation or surrender. But our work starts after we accept the gifts from God. Philippians 2:5-11 says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, that being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him, and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when we see that upon whom God poured out such blessing that many people stand in awe to this day, how God answered their prayers affirmatively, abundantly blessed, and mightily used them for his service. So said that total surrender was the source of all the blessings of his life, of their lives. They said that when he was, they were at old age, adding the total surrender amounted to two things. Firstly, absolute surrender to the work that God wants us to do. And secondly, a total willingness to let God work in us whatever he wants to work. So I would encourage us all this morning to stop trying to do it ourselves and let God work in our life by total surrendering. Let God be God in our lives. A question that I would like to pose to each and every one of us this morning is Jesus Lord of your thought? Is he Lord of your possessions? Is Jesus Lord of your speech, of your relationships, of your possessions? Is Jesus Christ Lord of your whole life, totally? Is Jesus the Lord of every area in your life, of your everything? Can you honestly say this morning, anywhere, Lord, any time, Lord, any cost, Lord, have you surrendered your all to him? Here in our text this morning, to sum it up, the Apostle Paul says here in Romans 12, calls followers of Christ to yield themselves completely to God, to yield to his lordship. Until we do this, we can never really experience the fullness of joy and the blessing of God has for us individually and as a church. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for your word, for reminding us this morning how important it is that we surrender our all to you. Lord, then it is all about you and the grace and the mercy that you have for us that enables us to do anything good at all. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace that is again new today and that you bestow upon us each and every day. And Father, we thank you so much for this time of sharing, this time of worship. And we just lift up to you all those that are heavy laden, those that are struggling in life, those that are sick, those that are lonely, those that are fighting battles of cancer or COVID or whatever it may be. Father, we just lift them all up to you and pray, Lord, that you would heal them, that you would touch them, that you would be there for them. And Lord, if it is your will to take them home to be with you, we thank you, Lord, again for your word, for your many blessings that we receive from you each and every day. Now, Lord, we ask your blessing to go with us, guide and direct us, give us strength and courage, and help us to see that total surrender is the only way. Amen. At this time, I'd ask you to kneel with me and whatever you have on your minds to pray for someone or for yourselves, let us kneel at this time. our prayers. Thank you for praying.
Good morning. I just want to make an announcement again about communion. The English one is August 18th at 7:30, and the German one is August 19th at 7:30. So may God bless you.
Thank you, Jake. How important it is. At least we haven't been able to have communion for quite some time, and it's going to be very special, I believe, for that we can again have communion all together. Just like to bless you with a benediction at this time, let us pause for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. May his mercies, love, and favor be upon you and fill you with spiritual benediction and grace. May you so live together in this life that in the world to come you shall know joy and peace and life everlasting. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.